this is Roy Lilly. You know, I think we're slipping towards an edge, the unknown. More staff-side organisations voting to strike. I've heard it said trust leaders have a tried and tested plan to deal with strikes. They don't. There's never been industrial unrest on this scale. Nothing has prepared us for what's to come. His Majesty's government say they've fully complied with the outcomes of the independent pay review bodies, and that is true. So what do the independent pay review bodies do? Well, there's nine things. They must have regard to nine things. One, the need to recruit, retain and motivate. Let me read that again. Have regard to the following. Number one, the need to recruit, retain and motivate able and qualified staff. Number two, regional local variations in labour markets, their effects on recruitment and retention of staff. Number three, the funds available to the Department of Health. Number four, His Majesty's government's inflation target. Number five, equal pay for work of equal value. Number six, the NHS should place patients at the heart of all it does and the mechanisms by which that's achieved. Number seven, the pay review body may be asked to consider other specific issues. Number eight, take account of the economic and other evidence submitted by the government, trade unions, NHS employers and others. And number nine, take account of the legal obligations on the NHS, anti-discrimination legislation regarding age, gender, race, sexual orientation, religion, belief and disability. So that's it. Now, the interpretation of paragraph 8, which is take account of the economic and other evidence, is important, as is the open-ended nature of paragraph 7. That's the one that says the pay review body may be asked to consider other specific issues. Now, there was no specific requirement for the pay review body to take into account pay stagnation. Over 10 years, the purchasing power of nurses' incomes has not kept pace with inflation. Paragraph 7 might cover that. The acceleration in inflation has undermined the present offer, as it's mostly occurred after the pay review body made their decision and recommendations earlier this year. So one way out of this mess might be to ask the pay review body to have another look, paragraph 7 and 8, to the rescue. However, having said that, paragraph 4, His Majesty's government inflation target, could be a spanner in the works, I don't know. If there isn't a second look, then we're left with the moral and ethical dilemma of a strike. And here are a few thoughts on what they might entail. Strikes are a legal right won by people who once endured dreadful working conditions. The cause must be realistic. A strike has to be the last resort and not a substitute for talks or effort to agree. Strike's primary objective is to harm the employer, in this case, His Majesty's government. But public sector work is for the public good, so striking will cause public harm. There's some evidence that striking does not impact morbidity, and I link to that in the e-letter, but strike action will mean some patients' needs will be sacrificed. We'll have no real idea of the extent of the harm that that's done until disaster strikes, perhaps some months from now. Strikers cannot be indifferent to the risks. They must know the risks. Any attempts through derogation to ameliorate the impact of a strike lessens its effect. The public have to be frightened. Otherwise, they won't put pressure on the politicians to settle. The counter risk is they put pressure on the strikers. Is the harm justified? Nurses claim the strike is also about safe staffing. Striking could bring about pay improvement very quickly if the government wanted to, but training lead times means workforce resolution might be years away. Strikes aimed at improving healthcare claims to offer a balance, exchanging a few days or weeks of minimum services for a lasting improvement and satisfactory services. Advice from Beecham and Childress, that I linked to in the e-letter, says a strike should be aligned with placing the patient's interests in the focal point. This has not happened. This strike is squarely about wage redress. A strike intended to benefit patients must first go through the questionable process of victimizing them. Nurses must justify this paradox. It's contradictory for the state to publish, through the law, health workers who treat their patients negligently, while at the same time turning a blind eye on health service conditions that might amount to institutionalized negligence. Health workers polled thus far are not universally in support of a strike. This is an important caution about solidarity and the integrity of the action. There are conflicted values. For some, striking is never morally justified. They consider it incompatible with the obligation to serve the public. If the strike is, in inverted commas, successful, non-strikers will benefit from the improvements, creating the prospect of friction between strikers and non-strikers. There are studies to suggest that the pressure of group and visceral decisions are more important than deep ethical reflection. Strikes are about structural failings and political choices, which the public and hospitals are powerless to resolve. There you are. There's some things to think about. You be the judge. Discuss. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly.